Joe and Mike, buildassetsonline.com. We got an interesting show for you today, my friends. And that is rank and rent slash lead gen versus high ticket dropshipping. You know, Mike was a little bit resistant to make this episode. He's like, people don't want to hear about these other business models. And I'm like, yeah, they do. And, you know, as we've talked about in the past, we've done FBA, we've done Kindle, we've done this, we've done that. We do rank and rent. And we've done, you know, we've done it all. And so I thought this was an interesting one to bring to you guys today, because I think this business model is growing in popularity. And don't get me wrong, I mean, we've done some stuff with it, made some money with it. And it's more interesting than FBA, because I would tell a beginner, never do FBA. Like, FBA doesn't fit our criteria at all. There's a lot of online businesses that don't fit our criteria at all. Rank and rent does fit our criteria, but I don't think, compared to high ticket dropshipping, that it's this be all end all panacea. There's some major issues with it, I think, if you're a beginner. And I've seen people in like the groups and all this stuff run into these challenges, and we're going to get into that. And yeah, I think it's going to be an interesting episode, even though Mike didn't want to do it.
I was resistant at first, but you're right. I think the roots of Build Assets Online are building assets online by any means necessary. So whether that's dropshipping, whether it's Kindle publishing, whether it's, you know, blogging, whether it's rank and rent, that's what we're into. And we might as well be transparent with the people. And I think on the surface, what attracted us to give it a try was it does tick a lot of boxes. But as we'll discuss, I think it's not necessarily something that is going to be as easy to get wins out of unless you're more seasoned in the internet marketing world.
Yeah. So let's define what we're talking about, and then we will go into some of the boxes it ticks and our Build Assets Online criteria. So defining rank and rent and defining high ticket dropshipping. Rank and rent is very simple, and there's actually two ways to go about it, and you could do it this obviously a hybrid way. The first way is you rank a website in Google for, say, something like I don't know, Foundation Repair Orlando, Florida. And you got people coming to the website, they're calling, they're filling out a form, and basically you're renting that website and thus all of the calls and form submits it gets. You're renting that to a contractor who actually does foundation repair. And you could do this in lots of different niches. Now, you can do this by ranking the site organically, which can take a while, can take a very long time, and it might not rank at all. Or you could do this with paid ads, where you pay money to get the leads flowing in, and then you try to find someone to rent it out, and then you try to rank it later to increase your profit margin. Now, why don't you define high ticket dropshipping, Mike? Because that's really been our bread and butter over these past 7-8 years. When I've heard about rank and rent, I'm like, oh man, it seems so easy. And I guess in these definitions, I feel like high ticket dropshipping is going to sound more complicated, a little bit harder, but I'm just not totally sure that that's the reality. So why don't you define it?
High ticket dropshipping would be getting suppliers within your own country. So if we're in the USA, we're going to get domestic USA suppliers, domestic USA brands, and we sell those products online to customers, and the supplier ships them directly from the customer. Or sorry, from the warehouse, their warehouse, to the customer. And high ticket, we like to sell products above $500. Ideally, you know, $1,000, $2,000. Our own average order values are above $3,000. So by doing this, you're going to capture really big margins per sale. Even if you sell a $500 item and you make $100 off of it, or you sell a $1,000 item and you make $300. We've sold items and gotten 55% margin. So we've made sales for $5,000 and made basically over $2,500. And so that's really where coming in before you have a lot of really refined skills when it comes to internet marketing, in terms of sales copy, in terms of building a brand, in terms of really being a master at running ads, all you need is one sale like this to really make a big difference in your online income.
Yeah. So hopefully those definitions were clear.
I wanted to show an example of basically rank and rent, right? Like what that might look like. So like Joe said, he was given the example of foundation repair, but you could also look at, you know, house painters, and this is all local, right? So house painters, Boston. If you're going to be doing rank and rent, you're going to want to be showing up somewhere in the top results of Google when someone searches for these local terms. And if you're showing up, people are going to click onto your website. They're going to fill out, you know, your form, or they're going to call you and say, hey, you know, I need my house painted. I'm in Boston, whatever, get me a quote. And then you rent out those leads to a local house painter in Boston.
Yeah. You rent out the leads coming in through the site. So, you know, you can sell that, you can do a per lead basis, but I think the popular thing now is they get exclusive rights to all the leads flowing in. Now, the build assets online criteria, Mike, this is something that you came up with, and we don't do a business model unless it ticks. I couldn't remember it, so I didn't put it on the slides, but there's a certain, there you go. There's a certain amount of boxes that it has to tick. What is it? Four of the six
usually makes it a business model worth exploring. So we're going to go through these, and I tried to provide an example for kind of the first two. So the first one in our criteria is compounding results. So if you put in the same effort over and over each day, is it going to yield exponential results? And so I put in this little picture here with some statistics from First Page Sage. And so what I'm trying to illustrate here is something that gives compounding results. So the idea of SEO, theoretically, the idea of putting in effort day by day to rank a website. What I'm trying to show here is the first position, the first organic position on Google gets, this site is saying it gets 40% of the clicks. I don't know if I agree with that exactly. It's saying the ad only gets 2%. But the point I want to make is that there's a huge difference in the amount of clicks and traffic you're going to get from being position 3 on Google versus position 1 on Google. So this is an example of, if you're putting in effort day by day to rank a site and you get from position 3 to position 1, it's not a linear jump. It's an exponential jump. Well,
can I intervene here, Mike? Because I feel like there's a better example for this. And I actually feel that, I don't know what you're going to say, but I do feel like rank and rent does not fit this criteria of compounding results. So high ticket dropshipping definitely does fit this criteria. And the reason is this, forget this picture. The reason is you can have a product, you can have a campaign, whether it's shopping or whether it's a text ad, and you can basically increase the spend on it and get more money. So you click a button, more money comes out the other end. With rank and rent, there's really no compounding. You have to make a site, you have to rent it out, you have to do this over and over and over again. There's never really a button you can press or like something you could do that's going to increase the value of a rank and rent site like as drastically as it would a dropshipping site. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah, I'm not saying rank and rent is this. I'm just trying to show people what exactly this means.
Right. Well, I think a better way to explain it is you can press a button. Once you have the information, you can press a button and get 2 times, 3 times, 4 times, 10 times the results.
Right. The point is that it's not linear. And so again, by showing situations where there is a non-linear change, that's what I mean by compounding results.
Okay.
So I think people get confused by this. I'm not saying rank and rent does this. I'm just trying to show an example of something that's compounding.
But I think we can agree that high ticket dropshipping definitely ticks this box.
Yeah, absolutely. Like you said, if you're putting effort into, say, Google Ads every day, and now you have this data where, you know, if you're doing 5 clicks a day on Google Ads, not like you spend 5 minutes a day on Google Ads, over time, those 5 minutes are going to be, maybe that gets you $1,000 a month in profit.
Right.
Next month, it gets you $3,000. Next month, it gets you $5,000, because the information you have is increasing. And again, the same effort, you can put more money into it. You can move things around, et cetera. So it's creating a compounding result by putting in the same effort every single day. Right. Compounding skill set is, again, if you're putting in the same effort every day, are you going to get an exponential skills increase? So an example we've given before would say be something like graphic design, where you put in the same effort every day, you put in, you know, 10,000 hours, you go from being somebody that's going to make $20 an hour for your graphic design skills to maybe somebody that makes, you know, $2,000. Again, something like graphic design doesn't fit these other criteria, so I'm not saying it's a good thing, but is the skills you're going to obtain, basically, will that allow you to reach a higher stratosphere in terms of, you know, how much money
you're going to make? Right. And it's not to say that you can't make a lot of money in graphic design, but it is to say that in order to make a lot of money, in order to compound, the compounding skill sets are not the design itself. It's more so like client acquisition for graphic design in that example. Like you would have to start a graphic design agency or something to that effect for it to be compounding. But just sitting there, you're sitting there doing the design all day, you know, you can only, there's a cap to how much you can make doing that. You can only charge so much, even if you're the best designer and you increase your prices a certain amount.
High margin. This is straightforward.
Yeah. Both of the businesses fit this criteria.
Low risk.
Depends how you go about it. For Rank and Rent, I would say Rank and Rent, if you do the ads model, can absolutely be pretty high risk, depending on how aggressive you get with it. You know, if you are spending money to get leads and then hoping to get a client on the hook to buy those leads, you know, you got to spend the money and you got to, like, I guess, woo the client a little bit, you know? So you're going to have to, I guess, flush some money down the toilet to do this. And if you want to scale it, if you want to do a lot at once, there is some risk there, but I would say, yeah, the risk is manageable.
So again, in this example, like this would mean, okay, right here for House Painter Boston, we have Angie and Thumbtack that are occupying these sponsored spots, but you as a Rank and Renter can run ads for this term. You can show up in these sponsored spots, and basically you're playing with this risk, because you're waiting to get clicks that you're going to pay for so you can get leads, and then in turn flip those leads to a House Painter and then hopefully land the House Painter as a client that pays you monthly, essentially. So yeah, depending on the industry you're going into and if you're running ads, this isn't necessarily low risk, because until you've tested it out, you're not going to know how well it works. You're not going to know how much you're paying per click. And you could very well sink several hundred dollars without actually landing a client versus high ticket dropshipping. You know, the problem here is that you're not actually able to fulfill what the lead wants. You need to kind of go to somebody else and get them to agree to fulfill it. And then hopefully you monetize that contractor by them paying you, versus high ticket dropshipping. If I'm running an ad for, I don't know, a power washer, and I'm already getting in to the dealer program with the power washer before I run the ads. So I know if somebody actually clicks it and they want that, I can fulfill the service and I can make the money. So
Well, we have a comment here. Sorry you were doing this. I thought you guys would also, I run a marketing business, so it's genuine info. Rank and Rent is against Google's terms of use policy. They're currently suing a few people. Rank and Rent is not about running ads. It's about ranking a website / Google business profile. Ads are for the first few months. Well, yeah, you're right that you could rank a site for anything. You're not really agreeing to Google's terms of use policy, but you're right about the Google business profile. The Rank and Rent, we're not talking about, well, there are many flavors of Rank and Rent. One is where you make a fake Google business profile, you get fake reviews, and all that kind of thing. And yeah, you're right about that. That is,
that's not what we're talking about.
Google doesn't like that. Yeah, but we're not exactly talking about that here. And you'll say running ads and selling leads is lead gen, not Rank and Rent.
Rank and Rent if you're selling the leads through somebody renting out that site and getting the exclusive rights to the leads.
Yeah. But we're not talking about making fake Google business profiles. But yeah. So anyway, let's move on there.
So I guess to wrap that up, I would say Rank and Rent would be higher risk than high ticket dropshipping, because if you're running it through a paid ad strategy, you're basically going to sink a bunch of money before you can even confirm that the area is good, or you're going to be able to get somebody to, you know, rent out the site from you. And, you know, even if you're going to rank it organically, you do have to wait and put in energy and kind of play that game of, is it going to rank? When is it going to rank? And how high is it going to rank versus Google Ads for high ticket dropshipping? You have so much margin to play with that there's definitely lower risk. Like if I'm going to make $1,000 on a sale, or if I'm going to make even $300 on a sale, that means I can spend $300 on ads for that product. And as long as I make one sale out of that, then I'm basically going to break even on my efforts.
Yeah.
Sustainable.
I would say that they both, I mean, high ticket dropshipping, I think, is more sustainable because, like this guy's talking about here, ads are for the first few months while they rank. Basically, with high ticket dropshipping, you want to and should be running ads indefinitely. And I think paid traffic is the most sustainable option for any online business. If you can buy paid traffic profitably and consistently, that's where the magic happens. So, you know, I would say Rank and Rent, if you are trying to rank sites in very low competition areas, yeah, odds are, you know, it'll be pretty sustainable because there's literally just nothing else there. Like if you're, I don't know, doing like custom gazebo in like a random town in New Hampshire or something. So yeah.
Yeah, I would say it's sustainable. I would check that box for both of them. And sellable. Can you sell the website at the end of the day? For high ticket dropshipping, yes, we've gone over this many times. Rank and Rent, yes. You can sell a Rank and Rent site.
Yeah.
So absolutely. I mean, so at the end of the day, Rank and Rent does tick a good amount of these boxes. You know, if it's high margin. You can say it's sustainable, it's sellable, and I would say you have some level of compounding skill set there. If you can get really good at sales, if you can get really good at ranking, if you can get really good at the tools you need to master that business model, then it can produce some really good results. So it's kind of just a matter of what this actually looks like in action. So we'll go to Kickboxer's question here. Or comment, if the Google business profile is not a genuine business, i.e. it's a lead pass on, it is a breach of TOC. You would have to rank the Google business profile in the name of the business receiving the leads to be compliant. Yeah, we're not talking about messing with the Google business profiles. Again, yeah, Google really doesn't like this stuff. They do a lot to crack down against it, and people go to some crazy lengths to kind of sneak around the system. Isn't that right, Joe? People will drive around with like cell phones and stuff to
Yeah. That's something a little different. People like exploit like the directions thing, but we're not talking about Google business profiles at all. We're talking about just making a website and ranking it in the organic results.
Right. So again, these are paid results here, but if you're just showing up organically for House Painter Boston and you own housepainterboston.com, I don't see why you wouldn't be allowed to rank the site, get the leads. And how does Google know what you're doing? Even contractors all the time, legitimate contractors, pass off jobs. They subcontract out jobs. So I don't
see. You could be making a site for a client. You know, you're making a sample website for a client that you're going to get later. You know what I'm saying? Like a website template, it ranks. How is that elite? Like there's nothing reaching anything about that. You're just making a website. Like Google is the one that ranks it.
Yeah. Yeah. Purposely manipulating the Google business profiles. That's not a good thing to do. So what's easier on the surface versus reality? In my opinion, Joe, rank and rent would seem easier on the surface because all you really need is a couple sites that are ranking and renting. You're getting paid. Maybe you get paid $1,000 a month from each website you rank and rent. You do five of those, you do four of those. Now you're kind of getting somewhere in your online marketing journey.
Yeah, but let's talk about the reality of this. The reality is that you're going one of two paths. The first path is you're buying ads. And so your account is dropping lower and lower and lower. And you're on a time clock to secure someone that's going to get the leads. And this could take a lot of nurturing. The other option is you're building sites organically, waiting for them to rank. You're looking at 3, 6, 8, 12 months to see a result from that. And then you don't know if you're going to be able to get a contractor in an area. And so what we see is that people that are good at ranking have, generally speaking, terrible sales skills. So this is a kind of a big problem. Now, with dropshipping, you know, it seems complicated. You got to get suppliers, you got to list the products on your site. It seems like there's more to do before you get that first sale. But the reality is like, that's not true at all. And also getting a supplier is a way different conversation than getting a client. A supplier is not paying you. You're paying them. So, you know, calling up contractors and trying to convince them to buy your leads and whatever, it's doable. It's possible. It's profitable. But it's a lot harder than getting in with a supplier.
Yeah. And this is why high ticket dropshipping is so good, because it takes advantage of all these things that normally you'd have to get really good at if you want to make profitable. So for example, like you said, in order to make a rank and rent site successful, you have to get really good at a number of things. You have to get good at ads. You have to get good at maybe SEO if you're doing that. You have to get good at nurturing leads. You have to get good at doing sales to these local business owners who don't necessarily want to be sold. Versus high ticket dropshipping, you're getting a product that has already been validated in the marketplace because these companies have been bringing them in from, you know, wherever they make them. They've been bringing them in for years and years. So what the actual customer wants, what the end user wants, is set in stone. The size of it, how it looks, all these things, the price point. The suppliers themselves already have dealer programs. So they want people like yourself to come in and sell their products. And then all you're doing is taking this product that people want, the description's provided for you, the price is provided for you, the pictures are provided for you. And then you're putting it up on Google Ads where people are looking for that exact thing that you're selling. So even when it comes to sales for high ticket dropshipping, like a customer calling you and asking you about an item, you don't have to be good at sales at all. People just call. They're already sold on the product a majority of the time, or they're already sold on if they need a tub, right? You're not cold calling people out of the blue. Like, you're not finding new homeowners and calling them and saying, hey, I saw you just bought a home. You know, did you pick out a tub yet? and like trying to work all the way down the sales funnel. If somebody calls you on your high ticket dropshipping store, they're already very deep into the buying process. And so it makes sales a lot easier. And so there's a lot less skills you have to worry about. And this is why, like, even when we talk about low ticket dropshipping and Facebook ads, you have to master copywriting, you have to master running ads. It's like all these things that are normally very hard with high ticket dropshipping, it's already kind of done for you.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, you're right, Mike. Maybe this was a bad stream to make. No one's watching.
I told you, Joe. But anyway,
I thought it would be good because people like to watch this from the Do Other Business Models. And, you know, I feel like people like their other FBA videos. Or whatever. Let's just get through this because I'm people aren't – I don't want to talk to the wind.
Michael Lacko is here. Michael Lacko, I haven't seen this man in a while. He was like an early member inside the group. Is that not right?
I know he's been on the stream. I don't know if he's been in the group. Maybe.
He looks very dashing from his picture. That can't be him.
Maybe it is.
The only word I can think of is dashing there. Anyway.
Where's Haitian Buffet?
I don't know where he's been. Now he was... Listen, Joe, if it doesn't come down to high ticket dropshipping and Q&A, a lot of people don't show up. But I'm sure with this video, people that may normally do regular rent may see this and may realize there's a different way towards online business.
So let's try to get through the rest of this. So both business models can use paid ads and SEO or a combination, which we like because we like the high search intent. But with dropshipping, you can have an immediate ROI on paid ads, whereas with rank and rent, you're more doing like a pay and pray thing. So you're paying for the ads, you're getting the leads, you're hoping you're going to be able to find a contractor or a service provider that can service the leads, and then you're hoping you could sell them on it later. So many different things have to fall into play, head into place. But with dropshipping, you have the high intent of the search ads and the SEO, but people just buy. Like, you don't really have – I mean, some – you know, I would say there's a certain percentage of customers that you'll have to interact with, but – it's nowhere near 100%, and you're just going to make sales and make money.
Even with rank and rent, unless you have really good sales skills, it's going to be hard to convince somebody to give you hundreds of dollars when they have not met you before. They're not fully indoctrinated on your content. You have to be really good at actual like cold sales, warm sales versus high ticket dropshipping. Like you said, even if it's asking somebody for $1,000, like for rank and rent, you have to overcome a lot of objections to get there.
Yeah.
Versus high ticket dropshipping, I can't count the number of times people have come onto our websites and bought things where we've made $1,000 profit and we never said a word to them.
Exactly. Exactly. Moving on, supplier acquisition versus client acquisition. People, I feel one of their main barriers for high ticket dropshipping is they're scared to call suppliers. They're scared of rejection. And if you think rank and rent is going to be any less scary to get a client and secure that client, when you have literally one chance to do it because you've waited 6 months, 8 months, the site just ranked, it's getting leads. And if you don't sell them on it, it's going to be a waste of time, or you're spending money, the account is dropping. You better secure someone that's going to pay for those leads, and you have a very limited window to do that. Whereas with high ticket dropshipping, first of all, you can call a supplier over and over and over again. We've called suppliers quarterly. Second of all, you don't really have to sell them on too much because you're going to be paying them. They're not going to be paying you. That's, you know, it's much, much easier.
Yeah. People are scared to call suppliers that literally say on their website, become a dealer.
Yeah. They're inviting you to call them. They have departments and staff dedicated to onboarding dealers.
Right. And so you're not going to do that, but you're going to call some blue collar guy in the middle of nowhere and try and convince him to give you $1,000. I don't know, man. And listen, it's not to say that rank and rent doesn't work. It definitely works. But again, it just comes down to what is going to be better for the average person to quit their job and have, you know, live their life making money off the internet, basically.
Yeah.
Which one is more likely to work out for you?
Now, with rank and rent, you don't get the power of Google Shopping. And Google Shopping is cheap. It's high search intent. And I would say, out of all search marketing ads, probably the easiest ROI. Would you agree with that?
Yes.
So.
Yeah, Google Shopping leverages a bunch of really cool things. Like, so, again, you have this level of intent where a customer searches for Kohler bathtub, right? And then they see images from Google Shopping of Kohler bathtubs and the price and your website. And so they're already clicking through. They already see the price. They already see the product. And again, you have that level of congruency where you're showing up for what they want. They see it's what they want. They see it's a price that, I guess, makes sense to them. So by the time they click into your website, they've already gone through a bunch of different layers. A bunch of questions have already been answered. On top of that, Google Shopping is generally like cheaper because you can bid whatever you want, kind of. And maybe you're not showing up in position one, but something people do on Google Shopping is they click, they see all the results. And even if you're kind of down low somewhere, you can still get a click and it'll be cheap for you. Versus with text ads or even with ranking organically, it's like if you're not in the top results, even in that graphic I showed, if you're position three, which is pretty good, you're getting way less clicks than position one. Imagine if you're bottom of page one. Imagine if you're page two, you're never getting any clicks.
Yeah. That image you showed, I feel like is the pretty inaccurate. I don't believe this at all because we have, so I'm probably running 200, maybe probably close to 200 text ads right now for something that I'm not going to divulge, but the CTR I'm getting is between 20 and 50%.
Oh yeah. The ad CTR. That's why I was saying this isn't like 100% accurate. The ad CTR is absolute shit here. I don't know why a 2% click-through rate on a text ad, Google's going to basically tell you to screw off. Your quality score is going to be bad. I mean, this can range from 2% to 50%. Yeah. But I mean, it is true that forget the ad part of this. There's a big difference in where you rank, number one, but also like, all right, a text ad has how many spots that are going to be at the top? 2, 3?
Up to 3, I think.
Up to 3. Yeah. But with Google Shopping, when you hit that Google Shopping tab, people are skimming through dozens and dozens of results. So you don't have to be in that top 3, paying top 3 prices to get clicks. On top of that, Google Shopping also, you're not picking the keyword you want to show up for. It's kind of just selecting a pool of keywords. So, you know, you could show up for a bunch of long tail stuff where there's not a lot of competition necessarily and get those clicks, get those sales at a really
it's almost like a Pinterest situation, I would say.
Yeah. Yeah, Pinterest with better intent.
Yeah. So what was I going to say? I also was going to say that I would say that the text ad is the primary position. It's not position one. Now, obviously, it depends on the keyword. Like a text ad, for example, is going to show for lots of different search terms, depending on how you set it up. But yeah, I don't know where I was going with that. But just to say that the text ad is, I would say, the most superior position.
It is, but you have to pay superior prices. And the question becomes, can you afford those prices?
Yeah. Yeah.
So how time plays into each model. Rank and rent has a time factor that cannot be sped up. Why did you say this, Joe?
Well, I said this because with rank and rent, you have to, you know, if you're going to rank it, it's going to take time. So you can speed it up to some extent, but with high ticket dropshipping, there's always something to be doing that's going to make you more money in the future that doesn't cost you money, if that makes sense.
So well, yeah, like acquiring suppliers.
Like you can acquire suppliers. You can write blog articles. You can, you know, there's always something to do where your time is spent wisely. With Rank and Rent, you're always waiting. Or you're spending more money. That's what I'm trying to say. You have two options. You have to wait, or you have to spend more money to test new areas and potentially get new clients.
Right. So even if you're doing paid ads, as a way to speed up how quickly you can find a contractor to pay for your site, pay for the leads, you're going to be testing and you're going to be spending money to potentially get that result.
Right. And still it's like, yeah. And then you still have to wait for the leads to come in and send them and can, you know, wait for, give them some free leads, convince them that this is going to be worth it for them. So it's always waiting, waiting, waiting. Whereas with dropshipping, I feel like there's always something to do without spending money. And that's, I think, is important is, can you do activities on a regular basis that are advancing your business that aren't costing you any money?
Right. Right. True. Even if you're running ads for your Rank and Rent site to speed it up, you may indeed speed up the time that it takes, but all right, I put my ads at, you know, $20 a day. I basically have to wait until the leads come in. And then I have to basically, you're kind of at the mercy of that situation versus, yeah, high ticket dropshipping. You're kind of always in the driver's seat. You could always be doing something, even if it's creating a new store.
Yeah.
Going after those suppliers, like, it doesn't even have to be based on running ads. Yeah. There's always a way to increase how much money your business can make, essentially.
Exactly.
So you wrote, scaling each model plus associated risks. There may be a threshold where Rank and Rent is better, but getting there is extremely difficult and only the highest performers can do it. For example, it may be easier to manage 100K to 200K profit monthly in a Rank and Rent portfolio, but it's far easier to get there with high ticket dropshipping, plus considering sale value. What does this mean?
So I think on the surface and in fantasy land, having a 100K to 200K profit Rank and Rent portfolio would be a dream. Basically, you're doing nothing and you got recurring payments coming into your account. Whereas if you have a high ticket dropshipping store, you know, this would have, it has to be doing millions in sales per month.
Yeah, if you're doing a million in sale,
yeah.
10%.
Yeah,
that's doing whatever.
You know, at least a couple million in sales per month to achieve this. But you have to deal with customers, you have to have a staff. So I think the fantasy dream of having this level of Rank and Rent seems better, and it would be great to have, but I feel like it's very, very far out of the realm of reality and doesn't take into consideration what you may have spent on ad spend testing to secure those clients, on link building, on website hosting, and all these little things that are adding up. Plus, you know, at that point, you basically have to secure 100 clients, which maybe more, maybe 200, which is really, really, really not easy to do. I mean, you almost have to be
doable.
It's doable, but not easy by any stretch of the imagination.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be a grind. And the question is, how many people can get to this mark, or how many people can even get past really the starting point? And I think that's really something important, because if you look at blogging, if you look at FBA, if you look at any business model, Kindle, these all have the potential for really high earnings at kind of with a lot of passivity. But the odds that you get there, or the odds that you even get to anything decent a month, gets pretty low versus high ticket dropshipping. I truly feel that whoever you are, you can get to a decent amount a month. And then you can, once you can get from out of the zero a month mark and you can get to $100 or $1,000 profit a month, over time, you'll learn more and you'll be able to kind of scale up. You'll be able to bootstrap yourself to, you know, 10K profit a month, 20K, et cetera. But I agree. 100K profit, drop shipping. I mean, I guess we've done over $1 million in sales in a month collectively. So maybe we've gotten close to this. I don't think we like are calculating it that deeply each month. But yeah, I mean, if you could have one store that makes $10,000 a month in profit, you could get more stores and get them to $10,000 a month profit each. It's not going to be like probably fun after the fifth store, after the sixth store, you're going to have to hire people. You're going to have to do a bunch of things. But again, even just somebody getting to 10K a month, I think is more likely with high ticket dropshipping versus Rank and Rent. And if you can get somebody to 10K a month through an online business, you could set them free at that point. Because at that point, they'll be able to quit their job probably. They can, you know, they can do what they want. Some people, they want to just make 10K or even just 5K, live where they want, do their own thing, take it ease. And they could certainly do that. Or somebody maybe more ambitious and decide, hey, I want to 10X this. So.
Yeah, exactly. We've seen a lot of people gain financial freedom through high ticket dropshipping. I'm sure people have done it with Rank and Rent. But I see, like, especially in the groups, I see a lot of what I really don't see too often with high ticket dropshipping is people that have been at it for a while and haven't had some level of success. Maybe that happens, but with Rank and Rent, I see it a lot, like just lurking around in the Facebook groups and stuff.
Right.
Because people have these sites. Oh, I've had this site for 3 years. It's ranking. I can't get a contractor. Anyone want to buy it? Like, I see that kind of stuff a lot.
Right. I think the metric is if you put in sustained effort for a year into each business model, if 100 people do it, what percentage of them are going to be profiting through high ticket dropshipping, or what percentage are going to be profiting through Rank and Rent?
Yeah, there's a chance with Rank and Rent. Obviously, there's a chance with both of them, but I think the chance is much higher with Rank and Rent that you put in sustained effort and you can come out with literally nothing.
Yeah. And that's almost the nature of SEO. You know, you can do ads with Rank and Rent again, but
even with ads, like, you can come out with literally nothing.
Yeah, 100%. And that's what I'm trying to say. If 100 people do each thing for a year, more people will wind up with the level of success.
And let me just add one more thing about the ads. The CPCs that you're looking at for Rank and Rent stuff are, compared to Google Shopping and compared to like high ticket products, are orders of magnitude higher. Orders of magnitude higher. So you're going to be paying $1, $3, $5, $10 maybe per click to get some leads flowing in. Whereas dropshipping, I mean, we talk about this all the time. This is an extreme example, but I mean, we've spent pennies on a click and gotten like $14,000 sales from it, something like that.
Yeah. I mean, even just the example of like 50 cents could be a perfectly average number to get clicks through Google Shopping versus on a typical high ticket, like local service, whether it's house painting, whether it's tree service, whatever. You're not going to be paying less than $3 a click, $4 a click, $5 a click. So we're talking about a 10x difference per click, every click.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And it makes a difference for people's psyches, you know, like, again, to not be making money online, like, that's not your full-time gig, and you're throwing out $5 on a click, every single click. That weighs on you, and you don't have a contractor yet. It's like these things mount, and I don't think that's sustainable for the average new person.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. Well, it's been real, but
Joe's gonna quit streaming after this. Kenneth said, hi, guys. What's up, Kenneth? Michael Lacco, he's just a guy. He's just a very dashing gentleman. So, I mean, listen, I don't have much else to say if you don't, Joe. But I think the verdict here is Rank and Rent can make you money for sure. But the average person who is not making their living off of online marketing is going to have a higher chance of success making money online through high ticket drop shipping.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it seems to be like that for a lot of things. Listen, I would love to tell people, hey, just make friggin' Kindle books. And you know, you'll quit your job, you'll make a bunch of money. Because I would love to be doing that myself. I would love to just be throwing out Kindle books all day, refreshing my Amazon earnings all day, and just be in a, I don't know, just be in a money coma.
But listen, it's the dream. This is what I said earlier. It's the dream to just be buying Fiverr gigs and have a VA and then just have money come out the other end.
Right.
That's the dream. And whether it's a reality and you never have to talk to a customer or a client or a student, I don't know. I don't know if that's – I'm just giving you the real picture. Like, that's the – you know, in an ideal world, if I could snap my fingers and just never have to – having a, you know, you deal mostly with the store, but you get what I'm saying.
You want to be a rich ghost, Joe. We get it.
Yeah.
Just an apparition on the wall floating around, just watching money come into the bank account. And yeah, I mean, that dream has been alive for 10 years, 15 years, 20 years. People have been going after that. You know, if you go back to the Warrior Forum, you go back to the early internet marketing days, that was always the dream, right? And there's actually, you know, I sent you that Ryan Daniel Moran presentation where he's talking about that. He's talking about, you know, early on in internet marketing, people just wanted to make money and live and, you know.
Make $10,000 a month and live on the beach. I think he said something like that.
Right. There was the Tim Ferriss 4-hour work week. You just sit around and you make a few thousand bucks a month, whatever. But then things started changing.
I think things were better that way. this was before the influencer. This was before all this stuff.
Yeah. But at the end of the day, if you can just come out of your shell a little bit, call a supplier that's saying, hey, call us, become a dealer. You can sell our products. You can make thousands of dollars selling these products. You just come out of your shell. You just call them. You get the products in. You run Google ads when people are looking for these products that you have. Maybe you answer the phone. You say, hey, yes, we do have this product. Yes, I am a real person. And then they buy it from you. Yeah. And then you get paid from them. And then you pay the supplier. And then you make hundreds of dollars of margin in between. And then the supplier ships it out to the customer. And you don't touch it. And the money comes into your bank account, and then you take it easy.
Yeah.
I think that's just the best way, man. We've seen so many kids come in, kids and adults with little experience, and make it work over time. So
yeah,
that's it, guys. Any final comments, Joe?
No, I love most of our students. I don't mind talking to you guys.
Listen, when no one shows up to the live stream, Joe gets in a depressive state.
And the office, when I do the office hours and no one's there, I get depressive also.
Well, everybody, please make Joe happy by giving this video a thumbs up. Going to buildassetsonline.com. If you want to learn how to build a high ticket dropshipping business, go there. Book a free strategy call. And that's it, guys. You can take it or leave it. But as always, take it easy.